Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello. Is this Sergeant Noble?
This is.
Okay, and first name Philip with one L?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, and it says that you are 32 years old, and I think I read in your thingy here that you've been a Marine for 12 years?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what did you do before you joined the Marine Corps?
Well, after I graduated high school, I took 2 years off just working, mainly like retail-type jobs and just having a little fun. And then I decided to join the Marine Corps. Kind of followed in my stepfather's footsteps.
And I'm thinking that you're liking the Marine Corps a whole lot more than working retail, huh?
That's correct, yes.
And I think you said something about you're going to try and make it a career at this point now?
I am. My contract ends in February, and if I'm not promoted by then I'll basically be forced out, and I'll go on to something else.
Well, it seems with all of your accolades that you should have no worries about being promoted.
Yes, it's getting really competitive right now as far as for promotions, but I'm trying. At this point, I'm working on trying to go into the counter-intel field and see if that might be something else I'm interested in. And their promotion opportunities are a little quicker as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask about why you were making that lat move, but that makes sense.
I've been doing the infantry for this whole time. This is my 7th deployment, 6th combat, kind of just want to change something that's, I know it's going to be a little more challenging going into counter-intel, but it also will provide me a lot more opportunities and in and out of the Marine Corps once I decide to get out. So hopefully that works out.
So, but wouldn't counterintelligence, wouldn't you be deployed with them as well?
Yes, I would deploy with them. They just do a different type of mission than obviously what the infantry does, as well as they, with the war coming to an end here, their job, you know, they get attached to different elements of the Marine Corps. They go get attached to ships, and they go all over the place. So might provide me an opportunity to see other areas of the world besides Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah, well, you've been to Korea, too, and I don't remember where else. You've been all over as well.
In the Philippines and Japan, yes. That was so long ago. I would love to go back.
Okay, so, all right, so explain to me about your job. Sounds like you coordinate training.
Yes, when any Marine or any, I deal with the Army and we have the Georgians and private security contractors, like any time any person comes into Afghanistan, out of Leatherneck, it happens anywhere in Afghanistan, any of the bases, but into Camp Leatherneck, they have to receive a certain training before they're able to leave the base and go to whatever base they're going to be stationed out of or based out of and start the turnover or relief at whatever unit was there. So there's classes that they get, rules of engagement, you know, the laws of war. They have to go out to the range and zero their rifle, as well as go to, we have counter IED lanes, you know, just all the different types of training that you have that's required that you receive when you first get into country. So I track the units coming in, I coordinate and schedule all the different training and ensure I greet the units as they arrive into country and give them and brief them their schedules. And any type of additional training that they might want, I'll get that scheduled for them. And that way it's a quick and smooth process from the time they get here and get them out to whatever base they're going to be with. That way they can do that relief with the outgoing unit in a timely manner. That way that unit can go home.
Wow. That sounds like you have your hands full.
It was a bit hectic at the beginning. It was a lot. I took over for what six individuals were doing, and it was a bit tough at first. The facilities that I fell in on were very poor. Just one little tent that was near falling down and in shreds, and so I got it. I let it be known to our higher headquarters as well as ISAF Joint Command. They came down to just take a look at how the RSONI training was going here. And so I let it be known what basically I was dealing with and started the process to get new tents, new facilities, contractors here to teach some of the classes, contractors to help run some of the range facilities. So it's vastly improved our productivity and basically the product that we're giving here to where they've said it's one of the best and smoothest run RSONI facilities here in Afghanistan now.
That sounds terrific. You said something before that I'm not sure I understood, so I'm just going to ask you to repeat it again. You said when you were talking about all the things that you teach the new arrivals, it sounded counter IED and then sounded like lanes, L-A-N-E-S. Is that what you said?
Yes, lanes. It's just the counter IED lanes is so it's the counter improvised explosive devices, the type of things that we run into out here. And they give classes, and then there's different stations that you'll go through, basically learn how to use the mine sweepers and metal detectors that we have, ground signs, things to look for that when these Marines are out doing patrols, you know, what to, or indicators to what could be possibly an IED in the ground, and then basically procedures and steps and stuff that you should go through, as well as they have the signs and indicators for if they went into, say, a compound for homemade explosive or homemade explosives, any of the type of chemicals or any type of indicators to show that they might have been trying to make those type of things there. So they get that basis and before they go out into their areas, so they know what to look for.
So the lanes, you're talking like traffic lanes or, you know, roads?
No, it's like a compound. They just call it lanes because there's basically different areas and stations that you go through while you're there. It's a full day of training that you have to receive.
Okay. So do you like what you're doing or you just...
I do. It is different from any of my other deployments. I've never basically been pretty much confined to one base. I'm used to getting out and you know, circulating, patrolling, seeing the battle space and going to other bases, but I haven't had that opportunity. I know my mother is probably happy, as well as my sister, that I'm not getting out there, but some of the days get a bit repetitive, and it kind of seems like Groundhog Day.
You're the second one I heard who said that about Groundhog Day.
I lose track of the days of the week. I mean, I've been busy, and it's made the deployment go by quickly. It's the first year-long deployment I've been on, and it is flying by. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy who I work for, and the unit I'm with is great and a great command. And I'm happy to be here. I volunteered to come, knowing what I was going to be doing. So it just took a bit to get used to it.
So you don't get to go out to any of the forward operating bases then? You stay on Camp Leatherneck pretty much all the time?
No, I haven't. I want to. I really want to get out and see Shikvani, is one of the bases that basically 3 years ago, my unit, we established that position. Living in the ground for 2 months in fighting positions, and from what I've been told is it's the Georgians relieved us in that location, and they built a really good base, and it's drastically changed. And I would love to get out there and see, you know, our old stomping grounds and how much it's improved. But
and what was the name of that place?
I'm sorry.
What was the name?
I got a full load here, but soon, hopefully at some point before I leave, I will get a chance to get out once or twice.
And what was the name of that base? It sounded like you said Shikvani or something, but I don't know what you said.
Shikvani. It is spelled, where is it on the map? Shukvani.
Okay. So you mentioned the Georgians. Tell me about working with them.
They're an interesting bunch, but they're well trained. They're very receptive, and we have some here in our that work for us here at the RCT at our regiment. That have been very helpful with the whole RSO&I process. They translated all the classes that the Georgians receive into Kartuli. That way, because at the beginning when the Georgians were coming in, it was a painful process with the language barrier to teach them the classes. But now they finally translated everything. That way it's a smooth and easy process whenever they come in to country.
Kartuli is a Georgian language?
It is the Georgian language, Kartuli.
Okay. I would think, I don't know, I guess I assume they would spoke Russian or Georgian or whatever, but Kartuli, okay.
It kind of sounds like a mix between Russian and almost Arabic or Pashto.
Yeah,
some similar words with in Pashto that they say.
Because I was thinking that Kartuli sounds like a Middle Eastern word, but okay. So you when they first came, you before you got the translation, you were trying to teach them what in English, and they didn't really understand English maybe that well, or.
Well, they have translators that are embedded with their unit, and basically, you know, we would say a little bit, and then the translator would translate, and it would take forever.
I can imagine.
For them to get these classes, as well as, you know, if they were asking questions, it was just a very difficult process. because whenever there's that language barrier, they really don't ask the questions, and a lot of times it's questions that need to be asked. That way they have a firm understanding on, you know, what's right, what's wrong, and what needs to happen. But now that we have these they translated the classes and actual Georgians that are given the teaching the classes, it's so much better.
Okay, so you taught some Georgians what to teach the troops then?
Yes.
Okay, so all right. So I can see how that would go better then. I think you also mentioned about training private security contractors.
Yes, there's a company called Academy that does security at some of our bases, and so they fall under the regiment, and we hold their contract. So they come in, I get them through the whole RSONI process, and get them out to their base. And basically, they hold perimeter security that keeps the Marines off the perimeter for, you know, so that allows them to do other operations.
Off the base perimeters or wherever they are? Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Right. They stand guard and basically secure the base.
And so how does training them, how does that compare to training Marines then?
It doesn't vary. It's not that different. They go through the same classes. They go to the same counter IED lanes. They just do a different shooting package because they stand on these posts that have machine guns on them, so I ensure that they get the proper classes for operating these weapon systems, and then I take them out to the range, and they do a shoot demonstrating that they know how to properly use those weapon systems.
I bet they enjoy that. Who doesn't like shooting machine guns?
Yeah. It's one of the highlights of what I do, getting out and going to shoot machine guns.
Probably why you joined the Marine Corps. Shoot.
That is one. I do enjoy that part of being a Marine. I find myself going, wow, I'm getting paid to do this right now, so.
So, why did you decide on counterintelligence instead of some other MOS?
It is a critical MOS right now. They need more personnel. It obviously is a hard one to get, all the prerequisites. And so, be it that they're needing more people to join that field, I decided I would attempt that. As well as I thought about it back in, I believe it was 2003, about going that route. You know, I've always kind of been intrigued by the whole counterintelligence job. I started asking and sitting down with counterintelligence Marines, just trying to get a better understanding of what exactly they do. And everyone I've ever run into has been they're very professional, and you know, I've always been impressed with the job that it is they do, and they operate in a small team and pretty independent. So I would like to hopefully, and I will get to go to that field.
So what are some of the requirements that you have to even be considered for it?
Your GT score, which is one of the scores that it's your general technical score that you get off your ASVAB when you join the Marine Corps. It has to be a certain, I think it was 110 or above, and you have to be able to attain a certain clearance, and you know your command has to sign off on it. And I got all that, but now I'm going through a screening process where basically they dig a little deeper into your history, and you have to write a 10-page research paper, do an autobiography about yourself, and that's what I'm working on now. So, and then once you finish all that, then they sit you down and they basically start questioning you. I don't have no idea what type of questions I'm going to be asked. I'm quite nervous about it, but we shall see.
Do you know when that's going to be, when they're going to have your interview?
Yes. As soon as I'm done with my research paper and my autobiography, then we'll schedule a date for sitting down, and actually I'll sit in front of a few counter-intel Marines, and they will basically question me. From what I was told before, some of the questions they try and kind of make you feel uncomfortable and see how you react, and so I have no idea what exactly I'm going to be asked, but I'll try and keep my cool. And from that interview, then they give you the thumbs up or thumbs down, I guess, if they say they believe that you'll pass actual school. And if I get that thumbs up, then I'll be good to go to school then, if I get promoted.
Seems to me I was interviewed somebody else who wanted to go to school, and they were saying that even if you get to school, there's still a pretty high washout rate.
Yes, there is. It's a tough school. I mean, it's got to be tough. It's the reason why they don't have that many people in that field, and they're needing more. Plus, they get a lot of people that don't stay in after they actually make it into that field. There's so many opportunities, networking with other agencies, units, or just job offers that people will get from just being a counterintel Marine. And they'll take these other job offers and leave the Marine Corps after their contract's up. So it's a pretty good spot to be to have all these other opportunities present themselves. I don't get that many when I'm in the infantry.
Mm-hmm. Have you had much interaction with the local Afghan military or security forces?
Not on this deployment, no, I haven't. I have, on my previous deployment, we had Afghan Army that were embedded with us throughout the deployment, but this deployment I haven't. They have I see them here and there on some of the ranges. There's basically their school that's located over here as well. But I have yet to have to train or assist with training them.
Okay. So, have you had your R&R yet?
I have had my R&R. I took it back in January, right after New Year's, and I went to Australia.
my goodness, how fun. Did you go with
it? It was on my bucket list. It's a place I've been wanting to go, so I basically had a free trip. You know, why not take it?
Yeah.
And I have a friend that used his GI Bill and moved out there. He's lived there 3 years, and I haven't seen him in about six. So I went and stayed with him, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Where were you in Australia?
It is a town called Byron Bay. It's the furthest east point of Australia, just south of the Gold Coast.
Ah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. Did you do any diving or snorkeling? Or?
I would say I attempted surfing and a lot of body surfing. Yeah. But I was at the beach just about every day, and it was a well-needed R&R. It was winter here, and I wanted to be somewhere where it was summer, and it was summer in Australia, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was in Australia in 1999, and really enjoyed it. We were in Sydney, and we went up to Port Cairn and Port Douglas, or Cairn and Port Douglas, and my husband goes diving, so we went on a four-day dive trip, but it was right after a hurricane went through, so I didn't enjoy it so much, but anyways.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so let's see. What's the first thing you want to do when you get home from your deployment?
Say again?
What's the first thing you want to do when you get home from your deployment?
I want to see my girlfriend. That's the first thing as soon as I step off that bus. And go to my apartment and hopefully get to go home to Texas and see my family and my daughter very soon after I get there.
Does your girlfriend live in 29?
She lives in Riverside.
Oh. So tell me about a most memorable moment you've had on this deployment.
Most memorable moment. Well, the other morning, I got to sit and have breakfast with the Secretary of the Navy.
That
was pretty interesting. I got picked out of our unit to go have breakfast. Had some good conversation with him. There was about maybe eight other individuals there having breakfast with him. He sat right next to me, and pretty interesting.
So what did you talk about?
He asked, you know, what we thought of the situation here, if we thought that the, you know, Afghans were going to be able to take over when we finish up here in 2014, just our viewpoint. Asked about if we had been here or deployed at all before. He was a bit baffled that I had deployed six times to a combat zone. He was like, don't make it a seventh. Go home. But, you know, we had a little question and answer session. You know, anybody that had any questions for him, we asked.
Did you have any questions for him?
I did ask him a question regarding, be it that the war was coming to an end, I could see the Marine Corps going back to our roots of amphibious warfare, you know, going back on MUs and getting on ships. And before the war, we were doing 6 months. Now we're doing 7 months since the war started. as a rotation on Muse, and due to budget cuts and the drawdown, I was asking him, there's rumor that the Navy was going to go to possibly 10 to 12 month deployments, and I was wondering if that was going to affect the Marine Corps on our rotation on Muse, if we should expect to go out that long on ship.
And what did he say?
I said it, you know, the Muse had been worked just as much as we have over here on deployment. It hasn't been set in stone, and they haven't made a final decision on what's going to be done, but it is a possibility that we could be looking at a little bit longer time period going out on ship, maybe 8 months to 10 months or something, but it's still in the air. They're still working all that. And he talked about the new ships and how many ships, how that were being put into the fleet. And something I didn't know is that he gets to name every ship while he's the Secretary of the Navy.
Cool.
He gets to name the ships. So
what do you think? Do you think the Afghans are going to be able to take over when you guys leave?
I certainly hope so. they are doing a better job than they were 2 years or was it 3 years ago when I was here. But I certainly hope they can take over and I don't know. I haven't been out there operating with them as much, but you know, from what I hear and what I know is, you know, we're putting them up front and they're getting the job done right now. There's not many Marines actually getting out and leaving the bases as much as they were 3 years ago, 2 years ago, so because they're allowing the Afghan army to take the lead and basically get it done.
They're good. So what's your typical work day like? What time do you get to the office? What time do you leave? What do you do in your free time?
Typical work day. It varies depending on what I have scheduled or units coming in. If I need to be somewhere, but right now it's been pretty slow, and I'm enjoying it. There's not so many people coming in. But I'll come in around 8 o'clock and eat, check emails, do whatever type of scheduling I need to do. And then usually during lunch, my boss and I will go work out for a couple hours and come back and then check more emails, eat dinner, you know, occasional meeting here and there, and I go back to my room and I usually sit down and watch a movie or read or go to sleep. That's about it. That's my day. And it's so repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Some days are busier than others. Some days I have to go out to the range and be a range safety officer and help get people zeroed or what else? Make sure people are at the classes or whatever training event they need to be at.
So tell me about being recognized by the CG of the International Security Assistant Forces Command.
So when I help facilitate all the new venues, and getting the contractors here, the IJC and General Terry, he was on his way out. He recognized me as well as then about, I think it was maybe a week or two ago, one of his lieutenant colonels came down who I had been working more one-on-one with through this whole process ever since, I believe it was November, we started communicating working together to get this all done. He came and presented me again with another coin and a certificate of appreciation. It was very unexpected, but very much appreciated. I was just doing what I was told and pointing out flaws where I saw them. You know, I just shut up and color when I'm told to, so I didn't expect to get recognized for it.
Okay, well, we've had a very interesting discussion today. Anything that you can think of I haven't
hopefully
asked?
It was good.
Yeah, anything you can think of I haven't asked you about that you'd like to talk about?
Nothing that I can think of.
Well, I sure appreciate your time this morning because I know it's late there. But so have a good night.
I appreciate you having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I enjoy it. All right, have a good night and stay safe and hope you come home soon. Or you probably won't be coming home till what?
Thank you very much. August.
August.
I can't wait.
Yay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.